This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hi, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October the 9th, 2012, episode number 505. Good morning, horse world. Well, Horses in the Morning is now live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Today, we are bringing you a highlight show from the Horse Radio Network to enjoy. If you caught this one already, please feel free to join us again live tomorrow morning at Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Jamie, Jennifer, and I will all be back tomorrow morning. And of course, you can catch all the past episodes of the Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com or subscribe on iTunes by searching for Horses in the Morning. Today's feature episode is the Western Radio Show 126 called Wild West. They had Don Ensley on, who's a friend of the Horse Radio Network, creator of the new modern-day version of the Wild West Show. And it was a fun interview. I think you'll enjoy. And also, they had on back on their show one of my favorite guests that they've had on in the past, Tim Leppard. He's an International Finals Rodeo three-time winner of Comedy Act of the Year. He has a Border Collie ridden by monkeys. That's right, a Border Collie ridden by monkeys. And we'll learn more about the monkeys and also the monkeys hitting the silver screen here shortly. So that's all coming up on the Western Radio Show. And we'll see you again tomorrow morning here live on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Here we come, roping and riding. Can't stop now, dirt as a fly. We're bringing you all the news that you need to know. On the road show, post radios, wherever you're going, we'll sit right back. It's a Western Radio Show. Sit right back. It's the Western Radio Show.
This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz, and this is the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Okay, another pet peeve time.
Oh, what now?
It's round pen stuff. You ever work your horses in a round pen?
Yes, the ones that I think will buck me off before I get on.
Well, there's some kind of days that if the arena's too muddy, too soupy or something like that, and the round pen's okay because it's kind of sandy, get out there and work them and that kind of thing. Now, are you a stand in the middle with a long whip or do you walk with your horse? I hate to see somebody just stand there and use the whip and pop it. I think that desensitizes the horse. When I'm lunging my horses, I never use a whip. I just hold a lead line in my hand, and we just have a nice little walk together for 20 or 30 minutes. I use it to exercise myself while I exercise my horse.
Yeah, I use it to get a little bit of exercise too. Yeah. But I mean, it depends what round pen I'm using, because one of them, the round pens, is too big, and I have no choice but to walk, and the other one's a little too small, so I get to stand in the middle.
Yeah.
And it depends on what horse, too. Handsome, but I don't lunge because that's pointless.
Well, I like to use that. I mean, it helps you to develop a great response and a respect, I guess, if you will, in a relationship with your horse when you're not banging on their hocks with a whip or something like that just to keep them moving. They're moving out of fear. They're moving out of a distrust, I guess, if you will, on that kind of a thing. And they learn to trust you, and it's not a fact I mean, I can say whoa, I've got them on voice commands, say whoa, they stop, I keep moving, so, you know, I train them not to walk right off with me or anything like that, and I'll also slow down, you know, at a time to keep them moving on, and usually just try to stay right there at their shoulder, and like you said, if it's a huge round pen, I kind of stay closer to the middle so I can keep up with them, because that's just the way that is. Just one of my pet peeves, you know, and usually the one that's just standing there in the middle. They're either sitting there texting, talking on their phone, or they have the kind of cowboy build that the horse actually hates to see them step in a stirrup to throw that fat leg across them.
Ellen, you make me laugh.
Just say
it. I actually use the round pen a lot for my mounted shooting training because I don't go out to the arena straight away because if I go out to the arena straight away to teach my horse mounted shooting training, if my horse runs off in the arena, then I have a lot more room. I'd rather run off in circles, little circles, than run off in the arena. And if I start shooting in the big arena straight away, my horse associates the targets and the whole experience of the arena with shooting. And I'd much rather get that over and with you in a controlled environment than there's so much more advantages to start in the round pen than the arena for me. So,
this is the training techniques that you use in the round pen when you actually introduce the horse to the gun and the sound of the gun.
Yeah, because what happens is if I start training a shooting horse in the arena and I run up to a target and I shoot it and I scare the horse, the next time I run up to the target, obviously the horse is going to run sideways and he's like, oh my God, when I go up to the target, it's going to go bang and I'm going to run sideways.
Yeah.
So if I do everything in the round pen first and I teach the horse, the noise is not the problem and it's okay and I build his confidence in the round pen. When I take him out the round pen and I run him up to the target, he's already confident with the noise. So he's not going to be like, oh my gosh, when I run up to the pole or the target or anything, it's going to scare me. So, you know, by doing all that foundation and all that groundwork and all that stuff in the round pen first, before I venture out, I get a lot of confidence and I get a much braver horse. So I am a big round pen user, not just for horses that I think going to buck me off first.
just walk with them. Now, do you introduce the horse to the bang, maybe with some smaller, like, fireworks or something like that, like, firecrackers, or do you just go ahead and take a gun out there? Do you go ahead and start with that horseback or you do that from the ground?
I start with on the ground, I do a stock whip, because that's light sound and I can do a lot of, a lot of groundwork with that. But I do start with a light load 22, kind of like, I was at a 4-H group the other night, Ellen, and I told him, I kind of describe it like the gun they used to start the athletic races, you know, the little blanks, the little 22 blanks. Yeah, I kind of use that because it's not the big old loud bang of a 45, but it's not the big old smoke either. So it kind of, it's a little bit of noise and it's not the same as a 45. So it's kind of gets them a little bit desensitized without the real deal. So I kind of use a lot of that in the round pen. And
well, it's one of those graduation things. You start small. I mean,
exactly. Baby steps.
There's no champion that runs one of those marathons that started out running 21 miles the first day.
Exactly. Yep.
So, I mean, if you just back up and do that, and I could just see where my concept of walking with your horse, if you've got that confidence when they're walking with you, if you start, you know, making some light noises and things like that and build confidence in them, and not necessarily to desensitize them to the pop, but
yeah,
I can see where that would work.
Exactly.
So,
if I have a horse that's really goofy, Alan, I'll go to Walmart or a toy store and I buy the little cap gun. Do you know the little that says not for children under 4? And that makes an even less noise. So if I have a real goofy horse, I'll go and, you know, buy a little kid's toys. So that's me in round pens for you.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Got to have it that way.
Talking about Western guns.
And use your round pens to walk with your horse. I mean, use it for yourself. Kind of walk off a little bit of belly, a little bit of leg or something like that, and that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but you're talking about Western. And we are the WesternRadioShow.com.
Talking about Western, we are as Western as we get today, Alan.
Today we're going to be the Wild WesternRadioShow.com.
We are.
We're going to welcome a guy, and he and his wife in the history of Buffalo Bill Cody and his Wild West show. It's the modern day. He's a modern day Buffalo Bill Cody, I guess you could say. Hi, Willie. Don Inslee's his name. He's a former rodeo announcer for many years, and he's announced at the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, and I've got a couple of questions about that. He's in the Texas Rodeo Hall of Fame, and they travel this country putting on Wild West shows. They've got a website as well, wildwestshow.org, is it? Or
.net.
I just didn't have it up in front of me. And
.net.
Lots of great information there that you'll want to find out. And if you have a fair, I'm going to say that if you're working in with that, you might want to use them at something like that as well. It's in Drasco, Arkansas. He's going to be on the show today talking about the Wild West show and all that goes along with that. And One of your favorites, Tammy, is going to be back with us today to tell us about some recent
the success. Monkeys.
Yeah, the dogs and monkeys. Tim Leppard will be back on the Western Radio Show today with a brand new announcement, and one of them is not so new. He was featured on ESPN, a show called E60, just a couple of days ago. They developed a relationship, ESPN and Tim Leppard, at a Broncos game, Denver Broncos game, where he was doing a halftime show, and they wanted to do a feature of him. He was included on a top 10 NFL plays for the previous season to where we are right now, and that's where they developed a relationship. And also, there's another big announcement we're going to make with Tim Leppard as well, and we're going to get into the crux of our show, if you will. And we got a brand new sponsor, brand new partner. Of course, Draper Therapies comes back with us, as we said earlier in the opener. Kentucky Performance Products, all kinds of great health performance, all kind of health performance products for your horses. We're going to welcome Karen right now to the WesternRadioShow.com with this nutrition tip from Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're back with Don Inslee and the Wild West Show.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products with a sensible supplementing tip of the week. We're going to talk about omega fatty acids' role in equine nutrition. So, Karen, everybody hears about omega fatty acids, but a lot of us, you know, we hear about it, and then it sort of goes out of our brain, and we don't really absorb what they are or why they're important.
Right, and, you know, Glenn, I think it's just very confusing to a lot of people, and mainly because there's so many of them, and they have so many odd names. So I think the easiest thing is to just try to simplify it as much as I can for you. Omega fatty acids are considered essential fatty acids. And what that means is they are fatty acids that are required for a biological purpose in the horse. In other words, they're not just used for fuel or energy, but they actually have a purpose. And they are considered essential because the horse cannot manufacture them on their own. We have to provide them in the diet. And because of the way we manage horses nowadays, you know, we've kind of moved away from managing horses just with a fiber source. In other words, you know, it used to be horses just, you know, grazed all day out on the pasture and different grasses. They got a little bit of grain now and then, maybe at the end of the growing season. But for the most part, they're eating grass. And grass is very high in omegas, in the good omegas for horses. So there's two kinds of omega fatty acids. There's omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids. And horses need both, but they need them in the correct ratio. And if you look at the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6 in different feedstuffs, if we look at grasses, we see that grass has five parts omega-3 to one part omega-6. And since grass is really what horses would eat naturally, that leads us to believe that the ratio for omega-3s to omega-6 in a horse in nature would be more omega-3s than omega-6s. So does that make sense?
Yep.
On that so far? So what we're looking at is we don't really know. The researchers have not determined the exact perfect ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s in horses, but we know that they need more omega-3s than 6s. And we're looking at somewhere between a 3-to-1 to 5-to-1 ratio in the diet. That seems to be a good spot to start, or a good thumb rule. Unfortunately, because we've changed the way we manage horses over the years, we feed hay and we feed grain, and that has inverted the ratio. In other words, most of our horses are getting more omega-6s than they are omega-3s. If you have an inverted ratio. In other words, if you have more omega-6s than omega-3s, then you have more inflammation in the body than you normally would if you had a higher amount of omega-3s. So the omega-3s, as they move through the system, tend to be anti-inflammatory, and the omega-6s, as they move through the system, tend to be pro-inflammatory. Your horse can use either 3 or 6, and they will use whatever is provided to them. But the result could be either beneficial or not so beneficial to your horse. Now, your horse does need some of both, but that ratio is very, very important.
How do I then turn it around to get more omega-3s back in than omega-6s?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. Grass is absolutely, you know, again, it's what nature intended horses to eat, so it's a very good source of omega-3. So if you can allow your horse to graze for the majority of the day, then, of course, that's almost...
Which our horse would turn into a...
Exactly.
You could fly him across the sky because he'd be a hot air balloon at that point.
That's right. A lot of horses can't because we've improved our pastures so much. So using feeds that are lower in omega-6s and higher in omega-3s are something that you can do. Now, forages, both hay and pasture, will contain more omega-3s than omega-6s. So grass and hay is good for your horse, and we all know that, you know, that needs to be the basis of your diet. Some oils will contain more omega-3s than 6s. A lot of people are using flaxseed now, and flax is higher in omega-3s than omega-6. Also, the fish oils, and a lot of fish oils are available over the counter now through supplementation. In fact, we have one called Contribute that is a fish. It's a combination of fish oil and flax oil, and it provides a complete complement of omega-3s. Okay. It has an 8-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, and it contains the plant and marine sources of omega-3s. Now, there's been some palatability issues with fish oil. I don't know if you've ever smelled some of the fish oils that are...
Mm-hmm.
Lots of horses will run to the back of their stall and just stand there going, oh, my
right.
God, Mom, what did you put in my feed?
Some of the human pills are like that, too.
Ooh, yeah, you can really taste. So we did a lot of research with our product, and we got a fish oil that just on its own smelled pretty good, and then we've added some flavor, some cherry flavor to it that has made it very palatable. So we have very few horses turning it down. And like anything, you have to introduce it slowly, and should introduce it slowly anyway to the horse. But we have very few horses that'll turn it down.
Well, that's terrific. It's good to learn. I never knew about the ratio between the 3s and the 6s. And, of course, you can find out more information on Kentucky Performance Products' new website. Has a terrific article on this. And we'll link to that in our show notes as well as on our Facebook page. And or you could just go to kppusa.com to find out more about omega fatty acids and the Contribute product. Just look under products.
And a thank you to Karen and our brand new sponsors. Hey, Tammy, we got them. Kentucky Performance Products for that nutritional tip. We appreciate it. And I guess in the tradition of Buffalo Bill, you know, we're talking about old Cody, the old days. We're going back in time. Don Inslee, he's out of Arkansas. We welcome you to the Western Radio Show to talk about your Great American Wild West Show. How are you today, Don?
I'm doing great. It's really great to be on your show. I love your show. I listen to it every chance I get and look at your website to keep up with all your information. Thanks a lot. I'm really proud to be on the show.
Well, you're about as Weston gets, Don.
Oh, I tell you, I'm sitting here in my house with my boots on and my hat on and my chaps on. That's all I got on.
Oh, God, that's scary.
How about that?
And he's already sounding like a politician, telling us he listens to the radio show all the time and all that kind of good stuff. I like that. That's cool. That's cool.
Well, I do. It's true. It's a good show.
Yeah, we like to have all kind of information. Texas Rodeo Hall of Fame inductee. Tell us about that and what it means to you.
Well, it means a lot. It was a real surprise. I spent, as you know, and Tammy knows, I spent almost 30 years announcing PRCA rodeos across the country, and it was some of the greatest times of my life. And,
yeah, I couldn't start getting hired until you got out of it. So.
Yeah, I just started losing my job, so I thought I better quit now before I lose them all. I can just say I quit instead of getting fired from all of them. But it was a real treat when they called me and told me that they were going to put me in the Texas Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame with a lot of those great Texas cowboy champions and other people. And I lived in Texas for about 25 years, so I think that's really sort of what helped get me in there is I spent a lot of my life in Texas, and I announced a lot of rodeos in Texas. The Santa Rosa Roundup in Vernon was one of the places I really liked to go. I went there about 21 years, and I took Cy Talon's place there, actually, So it was a real treat when they put me in there last year in 2011. We went down and saw a lot of friends and people I hadn't seen in a while. It's good to know that some people kind of remember what you you used to do, even though you think maybe they don't. Some of them still do.
One thing I'd like to know before we really get into the Wild West show thing, and I'm kind of a history buff about rodeo and things, and you were selected as an announcer for the National Finals Rodeo at a time, and it was 1984, I believe it was, the last year of Oklahoma City. Did you know going in to announcing that NFR that was going to be the last time that it was in Oklahoma City, or was the decision made after that? And you know, talk about announcing at the NFR and what it meant to be announcing the last one there in Oklahoma City before it went out to the Las Vegas scene.
Well, as far as knowing it was going to move, there was rumors. Everybody in the circle had been hearing rumors for a couple of years that it may move to Las Vegas or somewhere. Las Vegas is where they were talking about. But I think probably only a few, a little handful of the inside people that were making those decisions actually knew that it was about to go. And I think it came down maybe even just a day or two after the national finals was over that year to a one vote on the committee and the people who were making those decisions. I think it came down to one vote, and I'm not sure who made that final vote that moved it. But I'm not sure anybody knew. I didn't know for sure that it was going to move, and I was really proud now. And then, of course, I was proud to announce the national finals. Right. But I'm even more happy now that I got to do the very last one with Clem McSpadden there that was in Oklahoma City, because it was a prestige thing to go there. At Oklahoma City, it was the social event of the year for everybody around the country, and man, people would dress up, and it was just a big thing to be right there and be a part of it, and it was something I'll always be proud of to say I did the last one. Maybe that's why they moved it, because I did the last one and they had to get it out of town.
So Don, tell us about the Wild West show and how you got started in that.
Well, it goes back to the 80s, like Alan and I talked a few minutes ago. It started at the Houston Livestock Show. I did a show for them back in the 80s, and it just sort of took off and grew from there. And we took the show on the road, and in 1996 we called it the Great American Wild West Show, and made it bigger and better. And here we are today, just going across the country from New York to California, and a lot of stops in between.
So what was the first events of the Wild West Show? Was it all the events you have now, or did you just start off with a few of the events?
Yeah, it started in its very beginning just as a small 45-minute show with basically what you call acts, sharpshooting and trick riding and trick roping and things like that. And then I began to add more and more acts and creating new things and creating stories about Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and bringing in 20 or 30 longhorn steers and creating a scene or a story of the old cowboy and the cattle drives. So we just added everything in the world that we could find as far as entertainment and a little history and a few stories that go along with the Old West. And we might have as many as 100 performers and that many animals in any one of our big 90-minute shows.
So does the show depict a story? When you say story, so it's not just kind of entertainers coming into the show. Does the Wild West show, does it tell stories and depict tales of the West?
It does, yeah. In a way, it does. We always do what is entertaining first. That's the first thing on the agenda, is to make the show and every second of the show entertaining. It's not like watching a rodeo where you have to wait quite a while between things to happen while they load calves or bulls or horses or steers, and that's just the way those are. But our show is more like a Broadway stage production or a Disney on Ice or a Ringling Brothers Circus. It's very highly and tightly produced, and there's probably not 10 seconds at any given time during a 90-minute period that something's not going on. And it has a definite beginning. We have a big, spectacular opening of the show with American flags, and we bring in a big procession of the performers for a little tease of what's to come. So it has a rhythm of ups and downs. Something would be very fast and exciting, like a mounted shooting act, a cowboy on horseback or a cowgirl on horseback, and then we might go into a lower key segment of the show where we turn off all the lights and use spotlights in the darkness and bring in 20 or 30 longhorns and a silhouette of the old cowboy and spectacular music and tell a story, you know, for 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so it flows up and down. It has a flow to it.
And as a performer and a rodeo announcer, I know what it takes to make one go. When you're having a 2-hour and 15-minute, 2-hour and a half rodeo, and you're talking about an hour and a half, 90 minutes, and I can easily see how you can capture the attention of the spectator from the time you open up until you play Happy Trails or whatever at the end. But as the performer in there, I know as an announcer and all your folks that you have in the show, they're going to be worn out. They're going to be tired because they put everything into it. Do you happen to see when your fans and when your spectators are leaving that they look a little weary from having their attention just like that? I mean, just 1 second after another with something?
I'll tell you what we see. We see excitement in their eyes. Right. When the show's over, it's almost like they hated for it to be over because it goes fast. It, you know, they're not having to sit there and wait on anything to happen because it just happens so fast, and there's a reason that everything happens. It's not like you and I are used to at a rodeo where you have things are out there to fill in
right.
for something else. Everything that's in my Great American Wild West Show arena at any given time, that's the highlight of that moment. It's specifically made for that moment to blend in with what just happened or to blend in with what's about to happen. So there's no dead time, and there's no times that announcers like you and I have to feel, you know, until something gets ready. It's scripted in a way. I write scripts, and the show's formatted from the very second we play the overture to announce the show's about to begin, and the spotlights begin to jump around, and we do all this when we're in coliseums. We have all these lighting effects that we have and love to use. So we create an ambiance of excitement before the thing even begins. And the mom and dad tells us that their kids, it's the only time they ever taken their kids to a show or anything where the kids didn't want to get up and run around or go to the bathroom or concession stand. You know, the kids are sitting there afraid they're going to miss something because everything happens so fast, and it's just entertainment. You know, we're there to entertain them.
So I've gone to your website, wildwestshow.net, Don, and it looks like a bunch of people and a bunch of horses. So how many
right.
people are part of your show, and how many horses does it take to be part of your show?
It'll depend on the type of show we're doing. When we're doing our big 90-minute, what we call the big 90-minute spectacular show, we'll have as many as 100 horses and animals. We'll have 20 or 30 Texas Longhorns that we bring in from the Central Texas area. And we could have 70, 80 performers to go along with all those animals. So it's a huge, huge show with a lot of people and a lot of animals in this show.
Now, of the 70 or 80 that you're going to have, you really have some highlighters as far as your performers that are really on the out front, and you may have some fillers or things like that into, in the movie world, they call them extras or whatnot.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about some of the highlight performers that you'll have at your shows.
Well, some of the highlight performers that we have used for ever since the show began, of course, one of the main ingredients of the show is our stagecoach. We have a stagecoach with 6 fast, matching black horses, and that's sort of how we open the show everywhere, is by wham, this stagecoach comes bowling in the arena as fast as it can and does figure eights and all kind of things, and that pretty much opens our show. And then we have the trick riders and trick ropers and sharpshooters, and one of the highlights of the show also is our Native American dancers. We have a troop of dancers from the Phoenix, Arizona area that we have used at every show we've ever done, I believe. And we put them out in the spotlights with the hoop dances and fancy dances, and it's so they're certainly one of the highlights. And we've used trick riders. Sometimes we'll have as many as five or six trick riders at any given show, and we try to have, we always do have the very best mm-hmm. of the trick riders out there today. And some of those things that you and I are used to seeing over the years, there's not a lot of them out there anymore. There's right. people, you know, rodeos are not using as many acts as they used 2 years ago, so you don't have the number of trick riders and trick right. ropers and all those acts that we had as many to choose from that we did years ago, but there are still some great ones out there, and I like to say that we have most of the best ones in our shows, and we have several that we choose from. Depending on where we're going, we'll use certain ones at certain shows.
Do you have a favorite show that you look forward to every year, or a favorite place that really you just feel is just your favorite place to perform on?
Well, you know, the L.A. County Fair that we just came from in September, mm-hmm. and we've been there 2 years now, and it's becoming one of our very favorite places because the people love it. They just love what we bring to them out there, and it's the largest county fair in the world. This past September, they had about 1,600,000 people through their gates, and I think most of those people ended up watching our show at some point. Some of them came back. They would tell us and saw it a couple times during that fair run. We did 67 shows there, three and four shows a day. And those were short versions, 45-minute shows, but they were just packed with a lot of action and excitement. So it's becoming one of our favorite places to go to, and, mm-hmm. and hope we can go back for a lot of years. They do seem to like us out there, and we get a lot of press out of that. When we were covered in about six different newspapers when we were there in September, and also the Los Angeles Times did a feature in their paper, and also they came out and did a little short mini video documentary mm-hmm. of our show that's up on their LA Times website. So it's been one of our good shows. Denver used to be one of our favorite places. We took this show into their Coliseum for 13 years, and started back in the 97 or 8 or something like that, and stayed there for 13 years with this show, with all the lights and everything. And so that was one of our favorite places. We haven't been there in 2 years now. They're doing other things, but it was a big success and a fun place. We like going everywhere. We went to the Indiana State Fair this year in August, and it was a fun place. We did the show outdoors in their grandstand area. They've got like a 10,000-seat grandstand, and they set up an arena on the track, on the dirt racetrack, and that's where we did our show there, all outdoors. So everyone takes on its own little life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed on the main page of your website as well, and getting close to closing this out, but you've got a buckaroo-style guy there with his pants down in his boots and guitar on. How much music do you have in your show as well? And do you utilize the old cowboy tunes, Tumbling, Tumbling Weed, and Camptown Ladies and all that, like would be sung around a cowboy campfire?
Yeah, we do actually. That guy you're talking about, his name is Bob Krause, and he's from Illinois. He's been with us at least 10 years, and he's our singing cowboy, and he's the real deal. We put him in the arena prior to the show start. He's sort of our pre-entertainment, mm-hmm. about 20 minutes until the show actually starts. And actually, he's part of the show, but it's before the horses and things right. come in. And he does. He sings all those songs you just talked about, the Tumbleweeds and the Ghost Riders, and he has a whole repertoire of those old great Western songs. So music is a big part of our show in that way, and all through the show, we incorporate some of those cowboy songs with the trick roping and different things, and I also use a lot of music that's been specially recorded with right. big bands that highlight a lot of the action, and I use a lot of big movie themes. So I might use theme from Batman or the theme from Pirates of the Caribbean mm-hmm. that goes with a Roman rider or a trick riding. So it's not what you might think. It's not always, you know, banjos and what you and I would consider country music or that type of music. It's a mixture of all kinds of music to give it almost like a big movie production type thing. But Western music is really big. One year at one of our shows, I actually was able to bring in a little mini concert. I had late Curly Musgrave and Belinda Gale and a couple other people in the band, along with Bob Krauss, that we actually did a little 20-minute concert in the middle of the show, sitting on a stage with spotlights and, you know, doing these songs that we've just talked about, these old cowboy songs. And then when the Ghost Riders song came on from the band, that's when I'd bring in the Longhorns and do the story of the cowboys, the Longhorns. So that was part of the show. My dream is now to do that very same thing and bring in a group like the Sons of the Pioneers. To be a special guest and a short concert of that music within our show. And they're all good friends of mine. And someday in the right place, the right time, I hope to get that all put together. And I want to do that because I remember as a kid going to the state fair and other things and seeing Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers and Gene Autry, you know, in the middle of the rodeo. So that's what I want to bring back into my show, the things that I remember that were so great when I was a kid. And that's sort of the concept of this whole Great American Wild West show is to bring back a lot of things that people my age, when I was a kid, saw in those Western shows, Roy and Gene and just great Western fun, you know.
And of course, I noticed that in the cowboy way, the red and the white and the blue is really important in the cowboy and cowgirl lifestyle, as it should be in basically everyone's life. And I know that you have a lot of patriotic tributes during your show as well. We have listeners all across the globe, and a lot of them were probably tied in with some fairs. You do a lot of fair dates and things like that. If some of our listeners or someone who happens to hear this interview today would like to have Great American Wild West Show, a Western spectacular, tell them how they can get in touch with you and what they could expect budget-wise to make it happen and as far as budgeting space, what they would need if they wanted to have you come in and do a Western spectacular at their fair.
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of us and talk with us is to go to our website. There's www.greatamericanwildwestshow.com, or I believe there's also wildwestshow.net, and there's all that information there. There's phone numbers, there's email addresses, and I'd love to talk to anybody. We have almost on a daily basis fairs of all mm-hmm. sizes and all shapes from all over the country that want this show, and some of them, of course, don't have the facilities or the arena or the place to have this kind of show, and you just can't do them. And other ones don't have the budget for this sort of a big show. But there's always a way that we can produce a show in the size and scale and budget-wise, I think, to fit a lot of places. Instead of bringing the big full 90-minute production, we can tailor make one to fit a lot of things. You know, one of the things that we're had a great success with this fall is I teamed up again with the Encore Westerns channel, the Stars Encore Network, mm-hmm. and their Westerns channel, who had been one of our sponsors when we first started this. They've teamed up with me this year, and we're giving away show posters. I create a great big, like 20-inch by 30-inch mm-hmm. Great American Wild West show poster. And
awesome.
And people love them. We gave away over 5,000 of those at L.A. and Indiana state fairs. And we're going to do it again at the shows coming up next year, which I'm in the process of booking right now. In a month or so, I should have a good list of dates of shows coming up for 2013. So the Westerns channel has jumped back on with us, and it's a big hit. We've got people that are literally almost fighting to get, we'll take the posters over to the audience, or they will come over to meet the performers and get autographs on those posters after each show. And it's like they're lined up to see Justin Bieber or somebody. It's just amazing. They love these posters.
I'd like a poster.
Well, we'll send you one.
I just like, even the photos on the website are awesome. They're so Western and exciting with the truck wagon. I mean, the little stagecoach thing and all the black horses matching. It's awesome.
You know,
Alan,
there should be some way, and you're smarter than I am, you two, of how we could give some of these posters away on your radio show somehow. I've got some I could send you if you want to do something like that. Just you figure out how, and I'll get the posters to you, and you can get them to your listeners.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it, Ellis?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm excited.
And we do a contest like that every now and then with as far as posting pictures on our Facebook or something like that.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe we could do one, Tammy. We'll figure out between now and next week about maybe.
Can I win, Alan? Am I eligible for a poster?
No.
That just sounds so exciting.
You're begging. You're begging. But Donnie,
I've got them with your name on them.
All right, you betcha. And hopefully our listeners will be willing to fight for them and post those pictures for them or whatever we come up with for that. It's Don Inslee, Sharon Inslee, there with the Great American Wild West Show, a Western Spectacular. That's a 90-minute show. And if you've got a fair, if you're involved with a fair in any kind of way or any type of festival or something or other that's going on that would like to pay a tribute to the West, 45 minutes or 90 minutes full of action-packed action, just give them a call and they'll get things set up for you. Go check out their website, wildwestshow.net. We certainly appreciate you joining us today on Western Radio Show, Don.
It's been my pleasure, and I hope someday that we can all three get together and have some fun at one of my shows.
We'll do that, by God.
That'd be awesome.
You know, it's all about red, white, and blue, and this guy that we're going to talk to here in just a bit, we've had him on our show before, and Tammy just loved him, and she loved his dogs and monkeys more than anything else. But Tim Leppard of Pontotoc, Mississippi, has been having a lot of success, and he's been on our show before, but we just found out that he had done some filming at a rodeo he was at out west that is actually going to be in a movie hitting the silver screen coming up in November. We're going to have Tim Leppard, who is on show number 74. If you want to check out some information about his monkeys and dogs, today it's just going to be about his career, where it's at, and what's happening with him, because he was on a deal with ESPN that just aired again this past week as well. But we're going to come back with Tim Leppard, who loves the red, white, and blue as well, after this highlight of product from Draper Therapies.
Hi, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am here with Kat from Draper Therapies with the Draper Therapies Product of the Week. What are we talking about this week, Kat?
Well, this week we're actually going to be talking about two products, so it's kind of products of the week, and we're going to be talking about our eye pillow and shoulder wrap that we have available, and both of them are filled with flaxseed. So with the Draper Therapies products, normally you're getting an increase in circulation and health benefits, you know, that help you sleep better and all sorts of other great things, help you get rid of pain. But these products in particular, because they have the flaxseed in them, can either be thrown into the freezer or the microwave for added therapeutic benefits. So the unscented ones are usually ones we recommend to go into the microwave, because otherwise our lavender burns and doesn't smell so good, and you know, you don't want that smell in your house, but which is the bad thing. But if you go with the unscented version, you'll actually find that when you put it in the microwave, you can put it on different parts of your body that might be ailing you, especially if you've got a tight shoulders and tight neck, and heat is the best recommendation for, you know, helping you feel a little bit better. These products work twofold. So you get the therapy, plus you get the heat in that. Or if you throw them in the freezer, then you can throw them just about anywhere. And if you've got maybe an injury or something that's just, you know, feels a little funky after a day of riding, you can put them right on there. And I've actually had a lot of customers using the eye pillows as almost like boo-boo packs for your little kids. So you'd, you know, keep them in the freezer all the time. And then when something, you know, came up or a little, you know, scratch happened, you could just throw that right on top of it. So both of these items are very affordable. They're, you know, either $15 for the eye pillow or $25. And you do save when you buy them in pairs. They're great gift items, and they're just great all around to have.
And of course, you can find them all at drapertherapies.com. And for these particular products, you would want to look under the category of body therapy. Well, thank you very much. It's drapertherapies.com.
And thank you to Kat and Draper Therapies. We appreciate them sticking back with us as a sponsor of the Western Radio Show, westernradioshow.com. He's back, and he's one of our most sought-after performers in rodeo, and he was a favorite of the Western radio show thus far. I know Tammy really loved. Tammy's been after me to call this guy back for a while, just for no reason, just wanting to have him back.
I feel honored.
Yeah,
feel honored. This is my second time. I'm gonna get me a blue ribbon.
And I think I was standing right there beside you one day in Iron River, Michigan. We're not gonna go into the whole story to where all of a sudden your Facebook said status changed to single. I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know what all that was about, but Tim Leppard, he was on show number 74 with us. You can find out more about that. Just go back there and check it out about the monkeys and dogs. And I think Tammy was just overwhelmed that the monkeys could ride better than she could.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, but can they shoot, Alex? Hey.
They don't have to. They can bite.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the interview on E60 last week. They were talking to me about one of the monkeys, and I said, let me tell you something about them monkeys. That monkey can ride better than a cowboy can ride a horse.
I'm telling you. He's a television star, Tammy. He's been on ESPN. He worked a halftime show for the Denver Broncos last year, and I happened to see this show a couple of months ago, and it re-aired, or they did another segment of it on ESPN just a couple of days ago. We're at the 1st of October. It would have been the last of September. Tim, mm-hmm. tell us how the interview came about on ESPN with the show called E60, and I guess you could find some of that maybe on YouTube or something or other somewhere.
Actually, you can go on YouTube and go E60, but it all started, you know, during the Denver Broncos halftime show. We were on ESPN, and we won top 10 plays of the year. And they called me and told me they would like to come out and do a documentary. And you're looking at something that probably took a year, you know, in the making. And they put a schedule together, and they came out to a couple of the ball games that I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they came out, I think they chose one up closer to New York because I was in Delaware. And it was a pretty good deal. They had the little monkey cam, you know, where the monkey, you could see him riding the dog, and then you could see the dog carrying the monkey, which I thought those were some neat things, you know, that they used. And they done a good deal. They got down in my business. but it was all good.
Now, did the dogs and monkey have to sign one of those television or performance contracts?
No, you know.
I know they can write better than Tim can, so that's...
I make my signature as an X. The dogs, you know, people tell me all the time about the dogs and the monkeys. And, you know, I tell them, you know, if it wasn't for them dogs and monkeys, I wouldn't be here. So
right.
They've carried me a long way. Them animals are extraordinarily smart, and they do an outstanding job. And I just treat them with love and care, and that's where we ended up.
And that's a part of what your show has really moved into. And the way we as announcers sell it now, because we know you so well, we know the dogs and monkeys, and we know that you guys are more like a family than you are just Tim Leppard, the owner of these dogs and monkeys. What kind of feedback did you get? And I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a minute, but what kind of feedback did you personally get? I know that I saw a few things of the videos on the Internet where they had the video of you and the dogs and monkeys on the fields in Denver, and there were some folks making some comments about they can't believe it. Someone would do that to the dogs, or you know, put a monkey on their back. Somebody do that to the monkeys, and you know, putting them, you know, tying them down. And I know they're not tied down to these dogs. They like to ride them. But what kind of feedback did you get personally? I really thought that it was a victory story myself to have these animals free with you.
It was, and the people that did the talking, you know, the negative talk, which it was very little. I expected a lot more, but, you know, and that's what I've come out here and done is I proved to these people, I showed these people. I did it in the front of 110,000 people at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
I showed them that these monkeys are not tied on. I take them off and show them that these monkeys ride. Well, I mean, and that was one of the things that ESPN likes so well, that whenever they came in, I allowed them to come in and video me dressing these monkeys, putting them on the dogs, and everything that was done, they videoed. So if there was anything that they thought maybe would have been anything out of line, it would have never happened, especially, you know, putting it on national TV. But, you know, it's whenever I first started, there was probably 9 people that were doing this, mm-hmm. and now there's one. And I think this was helped is I listened to those people that talk negative, and I went out there and proved them wrong. I did the things that, you know, if they say something bad, I'm going to prove them different. I'm going to prove them wrong. And that's what happened. And what I'm getting now, you know, especially off the E60 ESPN, these people are foreigners. You know, they're not only they're saying, you know, I teared up at the end of the taping there, and it said the reason he's crying is because he's having to wear those stupid red, white, and blue colors, you know, and it was things like that. I think it was people from other states or something, not Americans, because
other countries.
We are Americans, and this year, you know, I've led up into the speech, you know, about being an American. So, it's everything I've done is been allowed through the, not only through the public, through the media, and for the ones that's come out there and said the negative, and it's like Liesl Harris, he talked to me and he said, you know what, Tim, in this business, when you're successful, you have less friends. And he said, when you're doing what you're doing, you're always going to have people trying to bring you down.
Right.
And that's what's going on. You know, I'm a fighter, and I don't know. I don't think nobody can get me down. You know, I'm a strong fighter, and I do things right, and that's why I'm where I'm at today.
But that's what I've learned, even with the success that I've had in mounted shooting. I try so hard for everyone to like me, and everyone, I just want to be a good person.
Right.
And I've had to learn the same thing. And
right.
I'm a really sensitive person, and I work hard to be a good person. But what I've had to do is when somebody, and that's what you said right then is so true, with success comes that. And when someone says negative, or I hear someone said something negative about the success that I've had, you have to sit there and you have to take that as a compliment. Because
absolutely.
It's when people can succeed themselves, they don't want anyone else to succeed. So
absolutely.
When you hear someone say that, you have to sit there and say to yourself on the inside, thank you for the compliment.
You're right.
That's how I've dealt with it myself, with the success I've had in the show ring.
Did you see the E60 film that come out on ESPN? You know,
no.
And that was one of the things, you know, and it was talking about, you know, I get knocked down. I get knocked down a lot. I hit a lot of challenges, and that's been my goal is to be a winner. And I guess that's why I'm single. But what I've done is I've started involving the future, the kids, and dreams. As a kid growing up, that was me. As a kid getting knocked down and being bullied all their life, I'm a proven fact that, you know what, you follow your dreams and you will be successful. Don't ever give up. Follow your dream.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, Tammy, one of the reasons that I wanted to have Tim on was I enjoy working with this guy. I really do. Is the fact that I've been able, and as a matter of fact, and it was years ago, and Tim might remember this or not, but when I first got started into my rodeo announcing career in Anderson, South Carolina, JR Super Shows, if you remember those, Tim, back in the day. First rodeo I ever announced in the IPRA, International Professional Rodeo Association. Tim was there, and, I mean, he just took me in as a family member then, and we've just been great friends ever since, and that was years ago, and it's still going strong today. But the silver screen is where a lot of differences are made, and I've been there myself. It probably wasn't the best thing in the world with the Borat movie or whatnot. But this one's really going to be a successful story for Tim, because in November, folks are going to be able to see those monkeys and the dogs on the big screen. They're probably going to be 10 or 12 foot tall on that big screen. I can just see it. There's a movie coming out. Cameron Diaz is in it. Colin Firth is in it. Tim Leppard and his monkeys and dogs are in it. The movie's called Gambit. Tim, tell us a little bit about the movie and how this transpired, that you're going to be a big screen silver star.
You know, and I was talking to you, and I was getting a call from Palmdale, California, and I was wondering, is that another one? But what happened is whenever they called from London, and my brother was sitting in the back seat, and they said, we wanted you to come to London. And I said, I'm not coming. And they told me who all was in it. My little brother said, I'm going. And, I still wasn't into it. I just wasn't into it. And they asked me, where do I live? And I said, I live in Mississippi. Well, they called back and said, we've got a location in Louisiana that we'd like to come and shoot this movie with you. And I said, I'm not even going to be there. I'm going to be out west. And they got my schedule, and I was in Santa Fe. I was in New Mexico. Yeah, way out west. And I was out there in New Mexico, and they wanted to shoot the movie in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it was close, so we went ahead and went out there, and I still wasn't into it, but you know what? There were some checks that kind of made me change my mind. They sent me a big check at first, and they told me whenever I came and done the movie that I would get another check, and if the movie... being that I was on the Screen Actors Guide, if the movie done good, I would be also doing good as the movie done good. And so There was a lot of things like that. Dollar signs said, you know what, I'm hungry. So we chose it, and we went out there and had an awesome time. Charlie Sampson, world champion bull rider, was there. Then we had Colin Firth. I can't even think of the girl.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. She was there. Her name is PJ Przalski or something, and she's a calf roper. And Alan Rickman and Colin Firth were sitting in the stands, and they were looking for Cameron. And what happened is they came to the rodeo, and while they were sitting there watching the rodeo, I was out there doing my specialty act, and which is the Ghost Riders. And then whenever we got through, they went right into the calf roping, and she was the first calf roper out. And it was good to work with them. My little girl, she kind of got a little spot in the movie that, you know, they needed a person to be sitting in a specific place, and Lakin was in that position. And so it made us all, you know, it was all good, especially a little boy from Mississippi.
And that's awesome.
Well, there again, what kind of contracts do you have with the dogs and monkeys to make sure that as the movie does good, they do good too?
Pop time, Alan.
I take care of them animals. Them animals are my life. But and I tell people, I said, they're not my way of life. They are my life. So them animals are very well taken care of.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about that and not to take anything away from your act and really just give it away right here, but I really want to try to close out this interview like we close out your act anymore. And, Tammy, you try to keep a dry eye on this thing because after he does his act and Tim's down there with his dogs, I'll start saying something like, no, you know, we're all born with a gift, and what you do with the gift that God gives you, you know, it's up to you. Tim had a gift with the animals. And Tim now has the gift of these animals that he works with. I'm going to let Tim tell you about this story about him and his animals.
You know, and I look at each animal and I hold each animal. And I tell him, I said, you know, this is a dream. In 1962, a little boy was born. And his dream, his goal was to own a monkey. And I've told that thousands of times. This is my dream to come true. And if there's a kid out there that has a dream, follow your dream, no matter what it takes. I introduce the people to each one of the animals, tell them all about them. I love them and kiss them and take one off. And I stand up, and I guess this is pretty much is what's been the seller, because I tell them, I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm an American, and every one of you are Americans. And it's time for us as Americans to take this country back and put God back in it. And it sells. So that's just the way I believe. And I was in this business through my brother. He was in Special Forces, and he's the one that got me started. It's been red, white, and blue for 36 years, and that's why I'm here.
And you know what? Right at the end of it, Tammy, he not only picks up that monkey and hugs it, but he gives it a little kiss and closes out with... That's a little monkey love right there.
That's real monkey love.
Yeah.
I love all my monkeys.
Exactly right. But, man, we thank you for joining us again today, Tim, and best of luck to you. And If you need some help spending those royalty checks, just give me a holler. You know where I'm at.
Oh, Alan, I would like if you asked me to help with the monkeys.
We did a basketball game 2 years ago up in Indiana, the Indiana Pacers and the Orlando Magic. So, you know, not only have we done NFL football and NBA basketball and baseball, they're all calling back. They're calling back. So we're doing something right. So we'll be back. So if you're an Indiana Pacers fan, we'll be back with them this year. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have called us. We worked their arena football and Philadelphia Eagles. So can't never tell. We might be coming to a city near you.
And look forward to it. Let me know when you come into Atlanta. Are you doing anything in Stephenville? Does Stephenville have a big sports dealer down there, Tammy, or what do y'all have?
If somewhere in Texas, I'd love to meet them.
I've done their minor league baseball team. They have a real good Skeeters right there south of Houston.
Yeah.
I went down there and worked their baseball game, and it was awesome. Not only they have a good baseball game, they have a good soccer team down there. It's like a high-end soccer. So, yeah, I've been down there, and it's it's pretty awesome.
Oh, cool.
Sugar Land Skeeters.
Yeah.
Just outside of Houston. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
But his name's Tim Leppard, and he was with us again on episode number 74, now with us on episode 126. Just go to YouTube and ESPN E60 where you can see the interviews there, and you can see it in his eyes. Just read his eyes, folks. You know, just don't think that he's using these monkeys just for a paycheck and that kind of a thing, because one of the things that I like to point out to folks, too, is when they say things like that and when it's animal abuse for what he does, let me tell you about the animal care, because this country of ours, in order to have these exotic animals, there's so many health papers that he has to have. There's so many permits that he has to have to be able to haul these animals across the state lines and things like that. And it's a true love affair between a man and his monkeys and dogs. And I certainly appreciate him for that and love him like a brother for sure. Thank you, Tim Leppard, for joining us again at WesternRadioShow.com. And we'll be looking forward for the movie Gambit. That's going to be the one, GAMBIT, and just Google that and find out more about it and make sure that what date does it come out? November to what?
I think it's showing on the film thing. They told me it would be November the 21st, so I'm excited about it. We're really looking forward to it. I mean, it's no different from E60. You know, whenever you do go on E60 on YouTube, it's just E60 monkey and dog, and it'll be a lot easier to find it that way.
Tammy's probably already looking for it.
Yeah, I'm off. Gotta go.
Hey.
All right, Tim, we appreciate it, bud. And you have a good afternoon, and thank you for joining us, WesternRadioShow.com. It's Tim Leppard, the Wild Thing. What is the website again, WildThingProductions.com?
No, Team Ghost Rider. Team Ghost
Rider.
Team Ghost Rider.
.com. Yep. There you go. And great stuff, Horse Radio Network, HorseRadioNetwork.com. You got to check them out, all the shows. What do they call that stuff? The dressage. Check him out, too. Horses in the morning. They have some valuable information every now and then. Jamie's on there.
Yeah. We need another showdown with you and Jamie, Alan.
I won the last one. Kicked her
butt.
You want
to just quit now?
Yeah.
You know what we should have? You know what we should have? We should have a Glenn and Jamie and then you and me, and we'll just...
Yeah. The challenge is down. The challenge is out. WesternRadioShow.com. Challenges, horses in the morning.
Because we're so much cooler.
We'll challenge them to a mounted shooting contest.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
Why?
Because we'll win.
I know. I wasn't going to challenge them to a jumping contest or something like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because then I'd win.
I'm going to tell you what we could do, though, and Glenn has an interest in this, but I think maybe a driving contest or something, because driving is, well, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it just looks like that most, if you, I'm not going to say.
We're not talking about driving cars, are we?
No, talking about driving horses with a cart behind it and things like that.
Hey, guess what? Bam Bam's pulling stuff now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hooked him up to stuff and dragging stuff around now. So
trees,
he's all
and stumps and all that kind of good stuff.
No, tires and shaving stuff. We hooked him up to a skateboard the other day and dragged people around the barn.
A skateboard.
Well, we're kind of looking for stuff that had four wheels, Alan.
Well, you know what you could do is instead of teaching him to drive with a skateboard behind him, you could do like that fella did on YouTube with the bulldog that would ride the skateboard. You could put Bam Bam on a skateboard and let him ride down the road.
Need some rollerblades. Wouldn't that be cool? And take him to the park. We're so off track.
That would hurt a stifle. Can you imagine? Stifles, yeah. Shoulders, knees, pasterns. Yeah.
Yep.
That would send him into some rotation for sure. But one thing that's going to come around to a rotation is the Wild West Show, the Spectaculars. Don Inslee, Sharon Inslee, they do an awesome job, and we thank him for joining us today. And
that was fun.
Yeah. Go by their Facebook. Look up the Wild West Show on Facebook, Don Inslee, and I look forward to getting those posters. I'm going to send him my address. I'm going to make sure to send him my address so I can
get them. I know. And you better sure send me one, Alan. Because I want to send my address.
I'll autograph it for you.
I don't want your autograph. I want his autograph.
Yeah, it'll be on there. And maybe we could get him to put one of his drivers on there. He has chuck wagon races at those things sometimes. And guess who drives his chuck wagons for him?
Not you.
Your neighbor. Kenny Pettit.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Kenny's so cool.
Yeah, he's been on the show a couple of times, and he helps him out with that. He's NFR announcer back in 94, and, of course, into Texas Rodeo Hall of Fame. That's Don Inslee. You want to check that out. And again, for any of those fairs that are looking for some entertainment, man, nonstop, there you go. And congratulations on all the recent success to my longtime friend Tim Leppard, Pontotoc, Mississippi, the Monkeys and Dogs. More so to the Monkeys and Dogs than Tim. I know that's what you're thinking. It's good stuff. But anyway, we certainly hope everyone's had a good time today at westernradioshow.com. And we're going to do this all again next week. We look forward to having you with us for our episode number 127.
Fun, fun. And show notes from links. Show notes and links, that didn't make sense, did it, Alan?
Not really, but it's okay. You're fine.
You know what I mean. Everything's at www.westernradioshow.com. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We have a contact link on the website. You can Twitter at Horse Radio. You can email to alan@horseradionetwork.com and tammy@horseradionetwork.com. And we're on Facebook.
Yes, still.
I can't talk today, Alan.
Yeah, it's okay.
Good thing it's over.
It's that Australian-American thing.
Alan Moorhead, Tammy Charant's Western Radio Show.
Yeah. There you go.
All on Facebook.
Yeah. And again, thank you to our sponsors, brand new, our great friends at Kentucky Performance Products. We certainly appreciate you. Draper Therapies, Cat's back with us with all of their great products and the things that help you. And, of course, check out all the great shows at Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. Great information, great show today at westernradioshow.com. Tammy, had fun.
I want to run away with the Wild West Show.
And remember, folks, no matter how bad you want to run away, the world looks better when you're running away on the back of your horse between your ears. Between your horse's ears. When you're running and you're looking down between your horse's ears.